This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 8th of November 2020. Today is the History of Amateur Radio edition of News West, and we explore some of the amateur radio stories that were reported in Australian newspapers in 1935, including a story about a 12-year-old Queensland girl who was tagged as the Empire's youngest radio operator, and another about early days of radio direction finding here in Western Australia. We've got a decent serving up from Roy this week. He must have taken his vitamin pills. All this and more on News West with amateur radio news for Western Australia since 1931. Available on air, online and on demand. Visit vk6.net to find out where and how to hear News West. Sadly, we begin this week's bulletin with a silent key announcement. Bob Robinson, VK6, Bravo Alpha, passed away just over a week ago on the 28th of October. We received the news too late to make a tribute on last week's News West, so here we are this week. Now, I don't know much about Bob, however, what I could find out was that he was into several aspects of amateur radio. He was involved with packet radio, and there was a report in a 1994 amateur radio magazine of his involvement in setting up the VK6RWR packet installation at Point Sampson in the Pilbara. And amongst other things that Bob did in amateur radio, he was a participant in the VK6 AMNet, which was on 80 metres on Saturday evenings, and would be remembered by those who participated in that net. Bob's funeral service was held at the Bantry Chapel in Busselton Funeral Centre on the afternoon of Monday, the 2nd of November. Bob was the loved husband of May, who is deceased, and a special friend of Mel. He was a loving father of Rob and Ty and Greg and Marie, and he had four grandchildren. Vale, Bob Robinson, VK6, Bravo Alpha, now Silent Key.
From the Albany Advertiser, Monday, 24th of June, 1935, and several other papers around the same time, comes this story entitled Empire's Youngest Radio Operator. The youngest child in the Empire to hold a transmitter's license is the 12-year-old Madeleine McKenzie of Wynnum, Central Queensland. Not only can she send Morse signals, but she can receive them and take them down in writing at the rate of 20 words a minute. She can operate her father's shortwave amateur station with complete efficiency, and recently she passed the amateur operator's efficiency test and gained 98% for sending and 96% for receiving. In addition, she qualified in a theory test in all phases of shortwave broadcasting. Her interest in the mysteries of radio began at the age of 8. Madeleine's father has been a keen student of wireless for 15 years, and in 1932, his station, VK5GK, was judged by the Radio Society of Great Britain to be the best station in Australia in the second annual British Empire Radio Union contest. Madeleine's brother, who is 3 years her senior, gained his certificate as a radio broadcaster last year.
The West Australian, Wednesday, 4th of September, 1935, contains a story with the title, A West Australian Amateur's Success. Word has just been received that Mr. N.F. Oliver, a 19-year-old amateur who operates experimental station VK6FO at Netherlands, has attained fourth place in a competition conducted throughout the British Empire by the Radio Society of Great Britain. The competition, which is open to all members of the society and affiliated societies, is to find the amateur who, during 48 hours in each of two successive weekends, can make contact with the greatest number of amateur stations in the Empire. The Empire is divided into 30 zones, and points are awarded for the greatest number of stations reached in the greatest number of zones. Four competitors were entered from this state, and the total number entered was about 160, and Mr. Oliver headed the Australian entrance with 1,989 points. During the 2 weekends last February in which the contest was conducted, he actually made contact with about 100 stations, distributed over 19 or 20 zones. Mr. Oliver is a West Australian representative of the Society, and VK6FO is the West Australian link station in a network of amateurs which extends throughout the Empire. He has been engaged in amateur radio for about 6 years.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
From the November 1935 edition of AR Magazine and the editorial. There can be no doubt that amateur radio as a hobby has attracted more types of men than any other we know of. We have them rich and we have them poor, and possibly with no two minds alike. There are scores of reasons why a chap takes up radio, and to quote even one example would be superfluous, but there is a sole common object behind all these reasons, and that is to get one what one can get out of the game, whether it be enjoyment or satisfaction. The number that are in the game for what they can put into it are far and few between, but let that pass. Radios cost money, and so does the enjoyment or satisfaction that is derived from it. The rich man can naturally afford more than the poor man, but unless he is a fool, he is just as anxious to get as much out of radio per pound put into it as his not-so-fortunate brother Ham. Watts per pound is one form of efficiency and financial gain, but to get those watts requires something more than skill. It requires pounds. A wise ham is one who can make his finances stretch a long way. A still wiser ham is one who considers that a shilling well spent is a pound saved. The former wise ham thinks that buying a dozen cheap articles for his pound, he is getting more for his money than the latter, who purchases only one good article for the same amount. Experience of those who have been buying radio gear for years tells that bargains in the junk store are far and few between. It also teaches that cheap gear is actually dearer in the long run than the quality stuff. The life and performance of the cheap gear cannot approach that of the genuine article. Workmanship, precision, and efficiency cannot be purchased cheaply. To have a shack of quality gear is something to be proud of, whether it represents £2 or £200. Junk has no attraction and speaks for the intelligence of its owner. The advertisements in amateur radio come from house of repute and reliable quality. Buy their goods and watch the watts as well as the bank balance go up.
Whatever you do in amateur radio, don't assume that because you post it on an email or on Facebook that everyone will see it, because they don't. For maximum impact on your audience, you need to utilise all available media to get your message across. People absorb information differently, some by reading, some by hearing, and some by seeing, and many by a combination of any of these. To maximise your reach, you need a scattergun approach and utilise all available media. And especially don't assume that your email post will magically turn into a News West item. Whatever you're wanting to promote, especially when it's an event or an activity that you want other people to take an interest in, you need to prepare something especially for the news broadcast and send the text, and even better still, your recording and your text, as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net. This week, the latest edition of RASA's QTC Light newsletter was published, and if you haven't seen it, venture over to their website, vkradioamateurs.org, and have a look around to find QTC Lite, and you never know, you could stumble across some other interesting stuff too.
Cloncurry, Queensland, September 24, 1935. The Editor, Amateur Radio. Dear OM, Please allow me a little space in your worthy magazine in which to ventilate my pent-up feelings regarding the present rotten operating procedure adopted by some hams. First of all, there is the fellow who, by no fault of his own, is compelled to use a bug key. The code manufactured by this type of key, when in the hands of a man who knows how to adjust and use it, is more preferable than the average sending an ordinary hand key. But what do we get? A most horrible corruption of the code, dots going at such a speed that they sound only a blur, and the dashes following on at about 12 words per, then again, ridiculous speeds when calling. The fellow who calls endless CQs, then signing his call once at about 45 per running everything together into such mush that only he himself knows what he is sending. Probably these fellows think this is style and beneath their dignity to send at a reasonable speed plus clarity. Then we have the other extremist, the fellow who sends so painfully slow and repeats himself every now and then that it's absolutely agony trying to listen to him, and the fellow who calls CQ about 20 or more times, plus DX, etc., etc., at about 5 words per minute, and keeps this up for about 15 minutes before signing, then wondering why he never works any DS. Hang it all. The regulations state 3x3 calling, repeated as often as necessary to establish communication. Now, I would like some of these chaps to convince me that they are observing this particular regulation. It would do some fellows a lot of good if they were to spend a little time listening to the standard of operating practice by most commercial operators, particularly the bug fiend. For his benefit, I ask him to listen to VIS when on press schedules and take an example of good sending. Then try to use this lesson for everyone's benefit when playing with his bug. Furthermore, I would like to know why some chaps must operate outside the assigned frequencies. During the course of my duties, a watch is maintained on 45 meters with the overseas mail planes, and at times it is quite surprising the number of self-controlled ham signals you hear on this wave, calling in blissful ignorance of their frequency, until by chance someone should hear them and be good enough to let them know they are off frequency. This sort of thing cannot go on forever. The time will come when the radio inspectors will act, and the lads who commit this breach will undoubtedly be sorry that they were not a little more particular in checking their frequency to see that they are within the assigned band before commencing to operate. Trusting that these remarks will be accepted with the correct spirit, yours faithfully, VL Kerr, VK4LK.
The hobby of amateur radio embraces a huge variety of interests and activities, and it would be a rare person who could make a genuine claim on having done it all. I doubt if such a person would actually exist, because new interests and developments are being added to the hobby almost every day. One aspect of the hobby that is easy to get into and embraces several aspects of the hobby is contesting. Next week, News West will be talking about contesting. We'll talk about contests that are coming up and where available, we'll put people's contest stories to air. How about sharing a contest story with us? A contest you took part in, things you need to do to prepare for the contest, and so on. Believe it or not, these stories are interesting to people, so how about sharing it? Send your story to newswest at vk6.net. 73s.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
From the Norseman Advertiser, Saturday, 23rd February 1935, comes the story of Charlie Quinn, 6 Charlie X-ray, entitled Inside the Ham Shack. The article includes a photograph of Charlie alongside his station. The term amateur has many applications. Perhaps the best of these is that of the amateur radio experimenter, or ham, as he loves to be called. In the radio sense, the term amateur is, and always has been, synonymous with all that is best in fraternal spirit, genuine seeking after knowledge without material gain, and willingness to help others, and live in amicable relations with all. The amateur is not amateur. Very often he knows his job far better than does the professional. He goes about it quietly, however, makes no fuss, and withal is content to play about with his gear in his own way to discover for himself the phenomena surrounding radio communication. Although he has not been an amateur since the days of spark-gap transmitters, as many like to boast, Charlie Quinn has done a great deal of experimenting. In all, he's been interested in radio for about 10 or more years of his life, while during the last four, he has held an Amateur Operator Certificate of Proficiency, the AOCP, and has been an active transmitting member of the Wireless Institute. His home in Subiaco Road is identified by the usual two sticks, signifying the abode of an amateur, and if you were asked to see the works, something like the following would meet your gaze. An average-sized room with a sideboard, a table and chairs, and sundry other articles of furniture. In one corner, and extending halfway along one side of the room, a compact but very effective-looking ham outfit. Yes, 6 Charlie X-Ray has his gear inside the house, not shoved away in a shed out in the cold, cold yard. Fortunate and lucky man. As one enters the room, a frame hanging on the right-hand wall near the door takes the eye, and on looking closely at it, one discovers it to be the limited ticket, the limited certificate of proficiency in radio telephony. Charlie X-Ray sat for some time ago and was successful. A lot of hard work for nearly nothing appears to express the general view. The exam is a difficult one to pass, and when a candidate gets through, and there is not a great deal of scope for him to use his qualifications. The limited qualifies its holder to take up a position as a broadcast engineer, but stations are not being erected every day. We had to congratulate 6 Charlie X-Ray on having such a fine little turnout. Not a mass of meters, alternators, umpteen tube signal supers, and condenser microphones, and dual turntables, but a nice, homely, well-made outfit, obviously designed on efficiency lines, and no funny business. In our next issue, we will take you on a visit to another local ham and tell you of the wonders awaiting the ordinary human being there.
From the Sunday Times, Perth, Sunday 19th of May, 1935. The dear old lady from away down near Widgiemooltha stood wrapped in wonder in a big Hay Street warehouse that stocks all sorts of electrical apparatus, from the tiniest incandescent globes to huge cooking ranges, cabinet and other radio, and each and every one of the modern machines that make living easy and enjoyable. The name of Marconi should be written in gold in every city in the world, she enthused. Fancy a tiny piece of mechanism, she pursued. Being able to receive and give out the human voice over tens of thousands of miles, over land and set it comes, across icy mountains, vast oceans, burning plains, stormy seas, and mighty forests and jungles. It has annihilated space and time. It has brought the voice of humanity together, the melodies of grand opera to us, the home songs of distant lands, the speech of kings and queens, the playing of brass bands, and the hearing of loyal multitudes. It has. "Excuse me," said the salesman, "but to what are you referring?" "That radio machine," answered the old lady. "It is so small, so compact, and yet so mighty. So multum in parvo, so to speak." "Very sorry, madam," whispered the salesman, "but that is a toaster."
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is Roy VK6X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 18th of November 2020. First off this morning, I have a correction on a telephone number from last week. Alan, VK6 Tango Delta Fox, was looking for a Kenwood Tango Mic Delta 710G in good condition, and the phone number given was incorrect. The correct phone number for that one is 0406 714 719, 0406 714 719, and he's looking for a Kenwood Tango Mike Delta 710 Golf in good condition, no crazy price, he says, please. He'll be interested in taking off your hands. He's in Narrogin, that's Sand Island, VK6 Tango Delta Fox. And the phone number again, I hope it's correct this time, 0406 714 719. Thank you. Next item is a freebie, a going free to a new home, a nicely built homebrew 6-metre band vertical antenna, approximately 3.5 metres in height, using a marine whip antenna as the basis of it, free of charge. If you'd like that 6-metre band vertical, please contact Gary. Telephone number 0413-298-910. He's in Gidgeganup. Phone number again is 0413-298-910. Well, the email address is golflimacharlie@iinet.net.au. Next item wanted, looking for an Eddystone, the old Eddystone receiver. A big, great big Eddystone boat hanger, 940, Eddystone 940 receiver, or an Eddystone 830/7 communication receiver, in good clean condition, please. If anyone has one, would like to dispatch it to a new home, please contact Alan, VK6 Uniform Sierra. His phone number is 0488-063-856. 0488-063-856. Anthony, VK6 Uniform Sierra. Next item for sale, we have two brand new Haverford telescopic 10-metre squid poles available to a new home. Can be picked up from Joondalup area or Old Toner's Luncheon on Tuesday. $85 each for a brand new telescopic 10-metre squid pole. Contact John, VK6JF, that's Juliet Foxtrot, on mobile 0413-896-371. 0413-896-371. Or the email address is victorkilo6julietfox@wia.org.au. VK6julietfox@wia.org.au. The next group of items comes from Ron, VK6 Victor Oxer X-Ray, and he has the following: a Yaesu Fox Tango 8900 quad band Yaesu transceiver, new in the boxes, and separating kit also asking $350 each. That's two by Fox Tango 8900 quad band Yaesu transceivers, new in their boxes. $350 each. And he also has two Fox Tango 2800 VHF 60 watt Yaesu transceivers, $100 each. He must like talking to himself, he's got two of everything. There's only one AR8600 Mark II Alpha Oscar Romeo communication receiver with voice inversion module, $750 for that. There's one Fox Tango 857 Yaesu transceiver, $750. One Fox Charlie 30 tuner that bolts onto the side of the FT897 as new, $250. And two Kenwood speakers, SP520 speaker units in grey, $25 for those. You can contact Ron on his telephone number 0427-215-513 at 0427-215-513. That's for those Yaesu equipment. And Ron's call sign, Victor Kilo 6 Victor Oscar X-Ray. And repeating one from last week, a UHF CB transceiver, a GME TX 4400, $60. Also a Yaesu Fox Tango 800 Romeo, one owner, 50 watts output on VHF and 40 watts on UHF, $80 for that. Contact Jeff, 0408-004690. That's 0408-04690. Jeff, VK6 Alpha Tango. 73, that's all for me for this week. If you've got the items for next week's broadcast, please don't hesitate to contact me, VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. is the only address to get me, Victor Kilo 6 X-Ray Victor at bigpond.com. And 73s, and safe travelling, and keep safe, keep healthy. This is VK6XV73.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
reported in the Daily News on Monday, the 15th of July, 1935, is an item with the title Location by Radio, Competitive Tests. After experiments lasting from 9:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. yesterday, Mr. F. Treadray, who operates an experimental radio transmitter under the call sign of VK6FT, was awarded the cup for winning the direction-finding competition conducted under the auspices of the Wireless Institute of Australia, WA Division Incorporated. Station VK6FT, which was assisted by Mr. Reading, VK6LR, gained 26 points, while second and third places were awarded to Mr. G. Moss, VK6GM, and Mr. W. Weston, VK6MW, respectively. Within the boundaries of Kings Park, two portable transmitting sets were erected. One maintained a fixed position, and the other took up four different positions during the morning. Entrants for the competition were called upon to locate the whereabouts of both transmitters as a result of direction-finding observations made with apparatus constructed by the amateurs, all readings to be taken from outside the boundary of the park. The transmitters in the park were operated by Mr. C. Brown, VK6CB, and Mr. C. Quinn, VK6CX. The transmissions took place on a wavelength of 40 metres, and some trouble was experienced by those taking bearings through interference from other amateur stations not participating in the contest. After the maps showing the plotted locations had been called in and judged, the presentation of the cup was made by the Institute's patron, Mr. G. Heyman.
What a history blast that was. And believe it or not, we collected more material than we could use this week, so it had to be stashed away for future use. As Jeff reminded you, next week we're looking at contesting, so we'd be very happy to hear your contesting story or your tips, tricks and advice for contesting. Thanks to the team this week, Mike, Jeff and Roy. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors and everyone else who assists us to get on air and online. There's been some chatter recently about bands opening up for DX, and some people sound a bit surprised, but it's mathematically proven fact that the more time you spend on air, the more DX you'll encounter. I couldn't name a source for the mathematical proof, of course, but it sounds good, doesn't it? The thing is, if you're not on air, you won't encounter the DX. So you know what that means. Get on air and make some noise.